It's good to see everybody out. Welcome out any visitors that are with us. We're encouraged by your presence. We're always thankful to have visitors to be here, to come and to join us as we worship our God. We ask that you stick around so that we can get to know you and welcome you as you are here. And that if you haven't filled out a visitor's card, we encourage that you do that also so that we can have a record of your attendance with us. We gather here so that we can worship our God and to remember all that he has done for us, especially in the sacrifice of his son as we had just taken of the fruit of the vine. But as we continue to live our lives upon this earth and we continue to try to do our best and live in our lives faithfully to our God, a question might come up to the point of, what does God want with me? What does God want from me? What do I have to offer to our God? What exactly is it that we can give to him? What does he want from me individually? Question that we might truly need to ask ourselves, because many may come up with the idea of different things in their mindset of what they should give unto the Lord. They may have the mindset of money or other things. Of course, under the old law, they had made sacrifices. And so they continuously need to ask the question of what is asked of me? What does God want? And so I ask and encourage that you open up your Bible, follow along as we go through the Word of God to see what it is we can find that tells us what God wants from us, what God wants with us. The first thing is to bring out what can I give to God in the point that all things are already his. You turn along with me to Psalm. In Psalm 50, verse 7, starting in verse 7, the 50th Psalm, starting there and in verse 7, it says, "Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, and I will testify against you. I am God, your God. I will not rebuke you for your sacrifices or your burnt offerings, which are continually before me. I will not take a bull from your house, nor goats out of your folds, nor every beast of the forest, for every beast of the forest is mine. And the cattle on a thousand hills. I know all the birds of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all its fullness." As you read these verses here, you look at what is being stated by God. God declaring that everything is his. As he goes forth and speaks to them about the sacrifices that they were making, the sacrifices that they were giving, he made it clear that they were already his. Because as we know, as we can study from Genesis and go to the beginning of time, we can see that he created all things. God created all things. He created all the swimming things in the water. He created all the living creatures that are on the earth. He created all the birds that can fly in the air. He says he knows all. Therefore, they are already his. So once again, what do I have in point to offer to God if it is already his? In Isaiah chapter 66, Isaiah chapter 66, and starting there in verse 1. Isaiah 66, and reading, starting in verse 1, it says, "Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build me, and where is the place of my rest? For all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist
planted in heaven. The earth is my footstool. Says all these things are my. What can you build me? What house? How great of a temple can we truly have hope to build for the Lord? He says, because all the things that you use, all the materials that we were to go gather up, that we were to go and dig and find all precious jewels and find the gold and silver, and that we would use those things to build a house for God. One, it's built by our own hands. Two, it's built by the things of which He has given us. And plus, He has created us ourselves. So once again, the question of what do we have to offer? In Acts chapter 17. Starting there in verse 24. Acts 17 and reading there in verse 24 says, God who made the world and everything in it, since He is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is He worshipped with men's hands, as though He need anything, since He gives to all life, breath, and all things. Again, He's created us. He's given us the breath of life. He's gifted us with these things. So when we're talking about all these possessions, these physical possessions of the world, they are the gifts that God has blessed us with. To the point of our own hands, to the very breath that we breathe, God has blessed us with these things. God has the power for anything He desires to have, anything He desires to want, to be able to create it Himself. As we study, once again, studying Genesis chapter 1 and 2, seeing how He created these things, He spoke them into existence. If He wanted a meal that was the greatest thing there was, and the greatest meat there was, it cooked in the perfect way, all He had to do was speak it into existence, and He He wants the great house, and He knows exactly how He desires it to be built. He wants a certain amount of comfort in the chair that He decides to sit in. Once again, He can just speak it into existence. So what can we give to God? The Supreme Being, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. What is it that we can give to Him that He doesn't already have? That He can't give to Himself? That He can't create on His own? I want to take a moment to look at a few examples throughout the Word of God and see what He expected from others. What exactly did He want from others? As we study throughout the Bible and see exactly what it is He desired to have. Some of the verses that we read, it talked about Him turning down the sacrifices, knowing though, if we study the Old Testament, we study when Moses delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt. And as they wandered through the wilderness and they are given the law of Moses, that there were certain things that they were to sacrifice. It was commanded of them. So once again, it wasn't always wrong that they were making these sacrifices. But what we'll see is the fact that their hearts were in the wrong place. And what God expects from all is obedience. He desires that we be faithful to Him. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, turn along with me here, we read about King Saul. 1 Samuel 15, and reading verse 22 says, "So Samuel said, 'Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than to sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams.'" See, Saul was given instruction. He was given the command to go and to utterly destroy, to utterly take out all of their enemies, and that they would go forth, and they went and destroyed the people, but they brought back the king. And then not only did they bring back the king, they brought back the animals. And so when he was questioned about utterly destroying, Saul said, Samuel was like, well, then what's that bleeding sound? What is that noise that I hear? He says, well, we thought about keeping them so that we can make sacrifice to God. You think, oh, well, that sounds like a good plan. You know, we can make more sacrifices, bring up a good, sweet aroma unto the Lord. Because there were times when people made sacrifices, and that's what it says about it. When Noah came out of the ark and he made sacrifice unto the Lord, it says it was a sweet aroma. It smelled good. It was a good sacrifice. Something that changed there is the fact that he wasn't obedient to the Lord. He wasn't being faithful to the command that had been given to him. So the question came out, which would the Lord rather have, sacrifices or obedience? Just skipped all the verses there. Jeremiah chapter 7. You turn along with me there. Jeremiah chapter 7. And in verse 21, Jeremiah chapter 7, and in verse 21, read along with me here. As it reads and says, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, add your burnt offerings to your sacrifice and eat meat. For I did not speak to your father or command them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings or sacrifice. But this is what I commanded them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people. And walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. Yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but followed the counsel and dictates of the evil hearts and went backward and not forward. Since the day of your fathers came out of the land of Egypt until this day, I have even sent you all my servants, the prophets, daily, rising up early and sending them. Yet they did not obey me or incline their ear, but stiffened their neck. They did worse than their fathers. Therefore you shall speak all these words to them. But they will not obey you. You shall also call to them, but they will not answer you. Here he speaks to them. He speaks and makes it known. He says, I try to warn them. I send prophets to them. I send servants to them. I make sure I do it early. And they do not listen. They do not incline their ears to me. They do not hear what I am saying. They do not obey the commands that I have given them. Well, so he even goes back to when he brought them out of Egypt. He says, that's not what I said is going to keep me with them is all these sacrifices that need to be made. What's going to keep me with them, what's going to make me their God, is if they obey me. They will be faithful to me. We are to be faithful to our God. Micah chapter 6. Micah chapter 6 and starting in verse 6. Micah 6, starting in verse 6. It says, with what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with 1,000 of rams, 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Here he says, what am I to give? What am I to offer up? Thousands of rams? Thousands of rivers of oil? What is it that he requires but for us to walk with him? To to walk with our God, to follow in the commands that He has blessed us with. That is what the Lord requires of us. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, we can see here as He leads the children of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 10. Reading there in verse 12. It says, "Now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways, to love Him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and His statutes, which I command you today for your good." We are to love our God is what it brings out here. That's what God required of men before Him. The question might come out of, why is that so special? What makes a difference? Once again, we brought out God already created all things, and that includes you and me. We can look and see that God created man in His own image. He created male and female. Chapter 2, you get into the point that He gave us the breath of life. That as He looked upon Adam and saw that he had no helpmate comparable to him, caused him to have a deep sleep, took a rib from him, created woman. God is our Creator. So what makes a difference if we give ourselves over to Him? He even told Moses He can make a new people. He offered that to Moses. As they wandered through the wilderness and they continue to complain, they continue to want to go back to Egypt, He says, "Let me make you a new people." Why it matters that we give ourselves to the Lord is that He's blessed us with the free will to choose to do that ourselves. He's blessed you with that choice to choose from right and wrong. To choose to worry about the things of the world or to set your home and treasures in heaven. And so therefore He's made it up to you on what to give back to Him. When we just had the collection, He did not put a price limit that we had to put in the offering plate every Sunday. But He leaves it up to you on what He's already blessed you with. What He has given to you to take care of your family, to put a roof over their heads, to put food on the table, to put clothes on their back. And He says, whatever you can spare, whatever you've purposed in your heart, and that's the key part, is that you've purposed in your heart, give back so that the work can continue, so that we can continue to meet here, that we continue to spread the gospel and shine the light. But it's about where our heart is. And giving yourself back to God. That's what we are going to be given back to God. That's what God wants from you. He wants you. Turn along with me to Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12. Reading there in verse 1 and 2. It says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." What kind of sacrifice does He want? He's not asking for a burnt sacrifice. He's not asking for a feast of unleavened bread. He asks that we give ourselves to Him, to serve Him, to follow Him. And as it reads at the end of verse 1, it says, "Which is your reasonable service, to be a living sacrifice, to be transformed into His image." The image of Christ. Why is that reasonable? Why? Because He's already blessed you with this life, with the life that you have. Why is that reasonable? Because He gives you all the wonderful things in your life. James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. Why is that reasonable? Because He sent His only begotten Son to come to this cruel world and to die for you. Not just die, but to be sacrificed, to be crucified, to be scourged, to be spat on. That's what he has done so that you could have a home in heaven. So that he can give you even more. So that he can give you a life without pain. So that he can give you a life that is continuously joyful. Without any worries or sorrows. He says, I have room for you here in heaven. But the thing is there's a price that needs to be paid. So I'll pay it. I'll send my son down to die for you. But now you have to be willing to take the path that has been set for you to get here. That Christ has already shown us how to do. That we are to be living sacrifices unto our Lord. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. Matthew chapter 16, and reading here in verse 24, says, Then Jesus said to his disciples, If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and they will reward each according to his works. It says we must be willing to make the sacrifice, to pick up our cross, whatever that may be, whatever it is that we have to put behind us, the pleasures of this world. Whether it's lying, whether it's drunkenness, whether it's adultery, whether it's homosexuality, whatever sin it may be, whatever things of this world that we have to let go of, covetousness, jealousy, selfishness, that we put those things behind us so that we can have a home in heaven. That's what he asks from you. That you give yourself and follow the Lord. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 19. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 19. Here reads, For I through the law died, to the law that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. To live for God, to live in God, to have Christ live in you. I recall a situation dealing with my own brother. My dad trying to reach out to him and try to talk to him. And he had a serious relationship at the time and point. And she had made the point to my dad that he'd be willing to talk to you as long as you don't bring up religion. You know, you talk about life, you talk about how he's doing, you talk about work. But the point is, for a Christian, for one who wants to know what God wants from you, life is Christ. That is what our life is. That's who we are. We are followers of Christ. We are children of God. We are heirs of God. And our home is in heaven, not here on earth. So in all that we do wholeheartedly unto the Lord. In all that we consider whether or not it is going to aid others to find their way to God, to continue faithfully to God or not. Because to live is Christ. That is what our life is about. That's what we are to give to the Lord. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and in verse 5. It says, and not only as we hope, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. You want to know what excellent giving is? You want to know what you need to do, how to get? It says they first gave themselves to the Lord. And once they did that, they looked to their brethren and saw the need, and they were willing to give to them. They were willing to sell possessions, and they were willing to take that and split it up so that no one was caught up in need. They were willing to help. Why? Because they first gave themselves to the Lord. We're studying elders in our adult class, and that's what we're looking for, someone who has given themselves to God, who is willing to daily pick up his cross and follow our Lord and Savior. One who loves their God with all their heart. In Mark chapter 12, just as we read in Deuteronomy, we read it here in Mark chapter 12 and verse 29. It says, Jesus answered him, the first of all commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. What else is there? If we are keeping the first and great commandment, to love our God with everything, your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength, that means you've given yourself to the Lord. Because it all comes down to our conscience, our mind, our brain, or what we think, what we believe is right and wrong. What we should and should not do. Where we should and should not go. How we should live our lives. Those decisions are made up because what we believe in our God. How we've chosen to give ourselves over to Him. Because we love Him with everything. Because we love Him with everything, we love all. Because He loves all. He gave His Son for the world. He's long-suffering, hoping that all will come to repentance. He desires all to be saved. So the second great commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. What does God want with you? He asks that you give yourself over to Him. Because He wants to bless you more. He wants to forgive your sins. He wants to give you a home in heaven. So we extend the Lord's invitation this morning to any who need to obey the gospel, to any who believe in who Jesus is and what He has done for you, that He was sacrificed and that His blood can wash away your sins. And if you're here and you understand that, you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you understand that He has commanded you to repent of your sins, to confess your faith, and to be baptized into Christ, we want to aid you in doing that this morning. But it doesn't end there. You come up a new person, and now you must walk in that newness of life. You must continue faithfully to the Lord. And if you've done that, then you need the prayers of the congregation. You need help in continuing faithful. If there's anything we can do for you, will you let it be known as we stand and sing?
Here am I, who will follow?
Brandon for the lesson this morning.